It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 11th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. When U.S. swimmer Michael Phelps won the gold medal in the 200-meter butterfly this week, he turned towards the camera, curled all the fingers on both hands toward himself, and made that unofficial international sign for Bring It. That short little piece of video might have been a contender for GIF of the week, but it wasn't, because according to the International Olympic Committee and NBC, there are no unofficial GIFs allowed at this Olympic Games. I've seen GIFs and other viral video from NBC's Olympic footage surface online in recent days, only to be yanked off in a matter of hours. We wanted to look a little deeper into why NBC has been so protective and how they are chasing down pirated video. So we called up Aram Sinreich. He is professor of communication at American University. Aram, thanks for talking to me. What's the reason unofficial GIFs are a no-go this year?
Well, you have to remember that, you know, the IOC ransoms out the rights to transmit video of the Olympics at a very, very, very high cost.
It ain't cheap.
No, it ain't cheap. So they are very, very, very jealously protective of that ability to share video of the Olympic events on any platform whatsoever. I think where this gets interesting is that to us, the consumers, GIFs don't really seem like video. They're just more kind of like an image that moves a little bit.
Yeah, they're innocent little moving images. Why would they keep those from us?
Those are technically video. So it's a very minor technicality, but it makes a huge difference in terms of the bottom line for these companies.
Well, now I've learned that you're a GIF man, not a GIF man, so that's helpful to know as well. NBC seems to be doing a really good job of catching and taking down video and GIFs and stuff like that as the Olympics proceed. Can you talk a little bit about how they might be doing that?
Sure. And I should warn you, I don't have any insider information about their methodologies.
Sure.
But I have done a lot of research over the years on the world of online piracy. And I know that there is a thriving cottage industry of third-party companies who specialize in just trolling the internet, looking for instances that might be copyright infringements.
What is the attraction of a sports GIF?
You know, more and more over the years, since sports first became televised, you know, there's been an art to reducing these hours-long events to these kind of key moments that are crucial in the narrative. And, you know, GIFs are kind of the perfect format to capture that moment in a way that's easily digestible and shareable.
Is NBC going to regret this move?
Yeah, well, you know, I think viewership is much lower than it traditionally has been in the past. And right now, NBC needs all the help it can get, you know, spreading the word about how exciting the Olympics are. And I think that, you know, cutting off the viability of GIFs as a way for viewers and consumers to share the excitement with one another is a very short-sighted strategy. And we'll probably see very different policies next time around.
Aram Sinreich is professor of communication at American University. Aram, thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure.
We called up NBC, by the way, to see how they're getting videos taken down. We didn't hear back by deadline. Maybe they were busy with takedown requests. Well, we are talking about video that is not allowed. Snapchat is being criticized this week for one of its selfie lenses, which change your face in real time while you are taking video footage of yourself. This one was supposedly inspired by Japanese anime, but some users have said it reduces them to racist Asian caricatures. Some users also took issue with an earlier Bob Marley selfie filter. It was released back in April on the 20th, 420, to celebrate pot culture. Maybe Snapchat needs to put a filter on its filters. The music you're hearing right now is from a video game that a lot of people in the gaming community are talking about this week. It's a kind of sci-fi exploration game called No Man's Sky. Think of the plot of that book in the movie The Martian, but with a way bigger color palette, also with 18 quadrillion planets and 10 million alien species to inhabit them, all created by a small game-making team that used computer algorithms to generate a massive environment to explore. It's being hailed as an inventive and unique game title. We called up game designer and Georgia Tech professor Ian Bogos to give us some more intel. Ian, thanks for chatting.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Why is this game a big deal?
It's a big deal because there's been a lot of hype around this game, No Man's Sky, because it promises to simulate the universe, or a universe, sort of in its entirety, and that you could traverse from planet to planet across the solar systems and galaxies and never see the same thing twice. That's the promise.
What does it look like? What's the feel of the game? Did you discover any new planets and name them silly names?
Right, you can name the planets. This is another one of the exciting features of the game. You can name them. They get uploaded for others to find. And the planets are different, but they're also very similar to one another. So there's a bit of a tension between, you know, the idea of every planet being different and that difference being meaningful, right? That difference being something that you notice in a way that is aesthetically part of the game, rather than as a kind of technical trick, right, that you can appreciate as a sort of programmer's adeptness.
Understanding all of that, what to you is new or exciting about this game?
It's a very calm, very lonely, meditative game. It's a game about exploration rather than about combat. And what you feel most, what I felt most, was a sense of kind of emptiness, of existential emptiness. And so you have a sense of smallness in the face of the incredible vastness of the universe. And, you know, that's no small feat to accomplish in any medium, let alone in video games, where we tend to think of, you know, the sort of adolescent power fantasy as the standard fare.
Ian Bogost is a video game designer and professor at Georgia Tech's School of Literature, Media, and Communication and in Interactive Computing. Ian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.